Welcome back to the Sought After Educator podcast. Before we jump into today's episode, I have an announcement to make. The Sought After Educator Accelerator is closing enrollment on February 1st. So if you know that you're meant to have a brand that positions you as the go-to educator in your space, content that actually sells your education, and a backend that supports real momentum instead of feeling tangled and duct taped together, this is the window. This is for the educators who know their work is legit, their results are real, and their education should be selling out, that want to build a sought-after brand. We will be opening again later on in 2026, but the price point will not be the same. So if you are wanting to get into the Sought-After Educator Accelerator at the current investment, head to jodybrown.ca/SAE, and I will link that in the show notes. If you are curious if this is the right fit for you at your current phase, DM me over on Instagram at @itsjodybrown and we'll talk about it. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to The Visionary Rising, the podcast for freedom-seeking, heart-led, creative entrepreneurs, course creators, and online business owners. I'm Jody Brown, marketing-obsessed hairstylist turned content creation agency owner and visibility mentor, and I'm here to help you build your magnetic brand, grow your audience, and become the authority in your space. You'll get the most up-to-date conversations and strategies on visibility, marketing, social media, mindset, and entrepreneurship so that you can grow your business in a way that feels as good as it looks. Here, we keep it real and go beyond the basics. I'm obsessed with helping creatives get seen and heard and paid well for their work. Beyond a podcast, this is a movement. Welcome to The Visionary Rising. Hello there, and welcome back to The Visionary Rising podcast. I am going to be welcoming a guest today who's going to talk to us about how to get more bang for your buck when it comes to the content you're creating. We're going to talk about how you can maximize your existing content to get the most amount of leverage and the most amount of juice from the squeeze. I am so grateful to you for joining me, Molly. Molly Ho is a marketing strategist and manager, and she specializes in helping entrepreneurs save time and taking the overwhelm out of marketing, especially if you're a solopreneur. That can be something that gets pretty heavy in a short period of time sometimes if you're trying to be in too many places. So I can't wait to talk to you about all things blogging, SEO, Pinterest, and just how we can get more eyes on the content we're already creating.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, Jody. I'm excited to chat today.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. Before we get started, tell us a little bit about how you started in entrepreneurship and how you support entrepreneurs when it comes to marketing.
I got started back in 2016, but I wouldn't say that I really figured out until 2018. And that's when I started selling digital products on Creative Market, which is what led me to Pinterest marketing, because I found out that some other creators had also marketed their designs on Pinterest. And so I started using Pinterest myself. I was like, wow, this really works, because the way that we rank on Creative Market is like by the number of sales you make. So the more I marketed on Pinterest, the more sales I made on Creative Market. So then that was like my intro into marketing. And it wasn't until a few years later when I had learned that. Silly now, but I didn't really realize what marketing was until like maybe 1 or 2 years later. I ended up taking a break back in like 2020 or 2021. And I came back into the marketing space, I think around like 2023. And I feel like the online space had changed a lot by then. And while I really liked doing digital products, I know that a lot of business owners, they want to do marketing or they know how important it is, but they don't necessarily have the time to do it themselves. And I thought people have always said that they like my marketing. So let me try doing this. And then that's how I'm doing the free marketing now.
And you know what? That's exactly how my agency side got started, was just from people being like, I love what you're doing. I want to do this. I need support though. And that really was how Align Creative Co. was born. So I think there is so much space for that done for you support. And I know that you specialize, like I said, in the blogging and Pinterest and SEO and all of those things. So what was it about that side of the marketing space? Because there's so many different options, different platforms. What was it about that SEO focus that really stuck out to you in terms of this is like something I want to focus in on? Because I think it'll really help.
Yeah, I feel like I see the long-term benefits of SEO and blogging and Pinterest, because there have been multiple gaps throughout the past few years when I haven't done blogging or when I haven't been active on Pinterest, but I see that it's still working for my business. I still see the traffic coming in. I still see sales. And so I'm like, even though there are gaps in, because, you know, if you have those gaps on social media, then nothing's probably happening. Whereas I feel like because the way that their search engine is set up on Google or Pinterest, I wouldn't recommend anyone necessarily taking a gap, but if it happens, then it happens.
Right.
So yeah, I just saw that the things I pinned years ago were still ranking on Pinterest. I'm like, I actually say that Pinterest isn't for every business out there, but if it is for your business, then I definitely suggest utilizing it. And as for blogging as well, a lot of people think that blogging is irrelevant or that it's not as good anymore. But if you think about it, if we search something on Google, the articles pop up. People definitely still read.
And I honestly search for things on Google. I've always been a reader. And if there's something specifically that I want to learn about, I look for articles on it. You're absolutely right. Like, I will read up on it. Like, I recently started using a new kind of skincare product, and I love to research that stuff. So I will Google it and I'll pull up articles if I'm going somewhere, same thing. So there's a lot of people who do still use that and can be really effective. When it comes to Pinterest, I was also under this impression that it was just like another social media platform. And I have learned that it's really actually far from being a social media platform. So can you talk and just give like a broad overview on what the purpose of Pinterest when it comes to a marketing ecosystem would be?
Yeah. So with Pinterest, if you think of top of funnel, like how do people discover you, right? They can discover you through Instagram, Explore page, Google, YouTube, like when people are searching for things on YouTube. Same thing with Pinterest. Someone goes on at Pinterest, whether it's on their desktop, on their phone, and they type in, for example, you like skincare, right? So you type in something about skincare or something that, what are the best things to use in the morning? And these things pop, like the images pop up. And so when you think about that, it's like Google. If you type something into Google, like all of these articles pop up. But instead on Pinterest, all of these images pop up, which is why it's really important to have eye-catching visuals, because people are reading the text on the images, but they're not necessarily reading text as if you were to read on a Google search. So it's one way for people to find you, but then what are the steps after find you? Where are you going to lead them to? Are you going to lead them to your blog post, your website, if you have a podcast, if you have any freebies, even if you're selling a course, if you have a freebie dedicated to that course, those are ways to get people into your ecosystem and into your community.
I love that. So when we talk about Pinterest, then it really is like the way to lead people. It's like the top of that funnel, searchable. You're going to want to focus on like search terms, I would imagine, like to get people, like what your people are searching for, rather than social media, where it's like really about hooking. And like, you could do that problem awareness. Like, you want people to be already searching for a solution when it comes to Pinterest. So when you said earlier that it's not for everyone, but it's amazing for the people it is for, can you give a little bit of a rundown on which businesses can benefit from Pinterest? Like, when you first are talking to a client, how do you decide whether or not Pinterest will be a viable strategy for them?
Yeah, so I know that you have a few course creators in your community. So if people are creating courses, I would say that it's definitely beneficial for them because it's education-based. So anyone who's education-based, I would say Pinterest is probably for them. I work with a lot of photographers and also website designers. So I would say people in the creative industry, or if someone's like a bookkeeper and they have a blog, that would be good for them too, because bookkeepers can help anyone like nationwide. I don't think my bookkeeper is in the same state as me. So yeah, I would say anyone who's like education-based or sometimes service-based.
Would you say then that Pinterest is more for, like reading between the lines, more for people who are online business or whose products can go anywhere. It's not so much for people who are in like a specific location-based business.
So photographers are in a location-specific business, but as for other business like realtors, I've had realtors ask me, I don't think it's a great marketing platform for them. I think there's other things that they can do for their marketing that are way more effective. I know that you work with a lot of hairstylists. So unless someone is also an educator, I probably wouldn't recommend Pinterest for a local business. But if they're marketing to like other hairstylists, then that'd be good.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's super, super helpful. So when it comes to Pinterest then, what are the biggest ways? Because I've heard mixed things about this. I would love your take on it. Like that it can be really incredible, but I've also heard some people say it can take a really long time to get started. What are your thoughts on that? Because one thing I want to think about is like, how is it that they are leading people to your existing content? So after you created products like online, when did you decide to transition into more done-for-you marketing services?
So I ended up taking a break back in like 2020 or 2021. And I came back into the marketing space, I think around like 23. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the online space had changed a lot by then. And while I really liked doing digital products, I think that I wasn't like the mind space to do digital products. And I know that a lot of business owners, they want to do marketing or they know how important it is, but they don't necessarily have the time to do it themselves. And I thought, I've always been good at marketing. People have always said that they like my marketing. So let me try doing this. And then that's how I'm doing done-for-you marketing now.
Oh, I love that. And you know what? That's funny. That's exactly how my agency side got started, was just from people being like, I love what you're doing. I want to do this. I need support though. And that really was how Align Creative Co. was born. So I think you're so right. I think there is so much space for that done for you support. And I know that you specialize, like I said, in the blogging and Pinterest and SEO and all of those things. So what was it about that side of the marketing space? What was it about that side of things, like that SEO focus, that really stuck out to you in terms of this is like something I want to focus in on because I think it'll really help?
Yeah, I feel like I see the long-term benefits of SEO and blogging and Pinterest and all these things, because there have been multiple gaps throughout, you know, the past few years when I haven't done blogging or when I haven't been active on Pinterest, but I see that it's still working for my business. I still see the traffic coming in. I still see sales. And so I'm like, even though there are gaps in, because, you know, if you're like, if you have those gaps on social media, then nothing's probably happening. Whereas I feel like because the way that their search engine is set up on like Google or Pinterest, I wouldn't recommend anyone necessarily taking a gap, but if it happens, then it happens.
Right.
So yeah, I just saw that the things I pinned years ago were still ranking on Pinterest. I'm like, I actually say that Pinterest isn't for every business out there, but if it is for your business, then I definitely suggest utilizing it. And as for blogging as well, a lot of people think that blogging is irrelevant or that it's not as good as anymore. But if you think about it, if we search something on Google, the articles pop up, and I still read emails, right? So people definitely still read.
Yeah. And I honestly search for things on Google. Like I like video content sometimes in the mood, but I've always been a reader. And if there's something specifically that I want to learn about, I look for articles on it. You're right. Like I will read up on it. Like I recently started using like a new kind of skincare product, and I love to research that stuff. So I will Google it and I'll pull up articles and I'll pull things up. If I'm going somewhere, same thing. So there's a lot of people who do still use that and can be really effective. So I want to know a little bit though, because I have heard, and this podcast is all about going beyond the basics when it comes to writing. So when it comes to Pinterest, I think maybe, and I was also under this impression that it was just like another social media platform. And I have learned that it's really actually far from being a social media platform. So can you talk and just give like a broad overview on what the purpose of Pinterest when it comes to a marketing ecosystem?
They can discover you through Instagram, Explore page, Google, YouTube, like when people are searching for things on YouTube. So same thing with Pinterest. Someone goes on at Pinterest, whether it's on their desktop, on their phone, and they type in, for example, you like skincare, right? So you type in something about skincare what are the best things to use in the morning or at night? And these things pop, like the images pop up. And so when you think about that, it's like Google. If you type something into Google, like all of these articles pop up. But instead on Pinterest, all of these images pop up, which is why it's really important to have like eye-catching visuals, because people aren't necessarily, they're reading the text on the images, but they're not necessarily like reading text as in if you were to read on a Google search. So it's one way for people to find you, but then what are the steps like after they find you? Where are you going to lead them to? Are you going to lead them to your blog post, your website, if you have a podcast, if you have any freebies? Even if you're selling a course, if you have a freebie dedicated to that course, those are ways to get people into your ecosystem and into your community.
I love that. So when we talk about Pinterest, then it really is like the way to lead people. It's like the top of that funnel, searchable. You're going to want to focus on like search terms, I would imagine, like to get people, like what your people like are searching for, rather than social media, where it's like really about hooking. And like you could do that problem awareness. Like you want people to be already searching for a solution when it comes to Pinterest. So when you said earlier that it's not for everyone, but it's amazing for the people it is for, can you give a little bit of a rundown on which businesses can benefit from Pinterest? Like it, when you first are talking to a client, how do you decide whether or not Pinterest will be a viable strategy for them?
Yeah, so I know that you have a few course creators. So if people are creating courses, I would say that it's definitely beneficial for them because it's education-based. So anyone who's education-based, I would say Pinterest is probably for them. I work with a lot of photographers and also website designers. So I would say people in the creative industry, or if someone's like a bookkeeper and they have a blog, that would be good for them too, because bookkeepers, I think bookkeepers can help anyone like nationwide. I don't think my bookkeeper is in the same state as me. So yeah, I would say anyone who's like education-based or sometimes service-based, and also definitely
so
product-based.
Like, okay, so reading between the lines, like it's not so ideal for maybe a local business. It would be more ideal for people who do have businesses that can serve like a wide variety of locations more. Would you say then that Pinterest is more for, like reading between the lines, more for people who are online business or whose products can go anywhere? It's not so much for people who are in like a specific location-based business.
So photographers are in a location-specific business, but as for other businesses like realtors, I've had realtors ask me, I don't think it's a great marketing platform for them. I think there's other things that they can do for their marketing that are way more effective. I know that you work with a lot of hairstylists. So unless someone is also an educator, I probably wouldn't recommend Pinterest for a local business. But if they're marketing to like other hairstylists, then that'd be good.
So when it comes to Pinterest, one of the things, I've heard conflicting information, and one of them is, I think that a lot of people agree that Pinterest is excellent. However, some people say it takes a really long time to start to get traction, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I'm just curious, like if someone were to integrate Pinterest into their marketing strategy, how long does it typically take to start seeing results in terms of traffic?
I would say to give it a good 3 to 6 months. So I'm working with a few people right now, and one designer is doing like her pins herself, or she was doing her pins herself before working together. And I think within the second month of us working together, you can clearly see that it started shooting like upwards. Another photographer did Pinterest herself in the past. Actually, she took my Pinterest course back in 2019, which is pretty cool. But like when I look at her analytics, you can also see that her analytics have been trending upward within the 2 or 3 months that we've been working together. I will say that people who have used Pinterest in the past and maybe abandoned it will see results sooner than those who don't. What I would say for people who are hesitant would be to like look at their long-term plan of their business, because Pinterest really doesn't have to take forever to get good results. And so even if someone has 5 to 10 extra hours in their month, or even 2 to 3 extra hours in their month to work on Pinterest, and I think it's worth the results if it works, if like their business falls in the categories of what this works for you. Because we're in the age where everything is fast. Amazon then do things next day, sometimes like the same day. We're so used to things instantly. But if you look at, for example, a website designer, right, they have to sell their templates if they're selling them, or they have to sell their designs. If they plan on being in business 2 years, 5 years, however many years from now, if they put in the work today, then they, like, in a year from now could get tons of traffic.
I think one of the appealing things, like we said at the top of the episode, is not having to create content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we say that, though, like when it comes to Pinterest, obviously you are creating pin,
right?
But can you explain how that's like different? Because I think for someone who hasn't used Pinterest, it looks like, actually, I do have to create more content. But can you explain how creating a pin is actually quite different than creating a piece of content for social media? For obviously, it's different than a podcast episode or whatever that may be.
So Pinterest is based a lot on images, static images. Sometimes you can do slideshows, videos. For example, think about if someone were to sell courses. They create those like freebies where there's the graphic and then there's the title and then there's the mock-up. So if I'm working with someone like that, then I would just resize their Pinterest. I would put the graphic into Pinterest size and then maybe edit a few things around. And also for Pinterest, I like to do a lot of A-B testing. I'll use their different brand colors. I'll do different placements. I'll see what actually catches someone's eye. But I'll also do like different descriptions and keywords to see, because Pinterest needs time to index what it's ranking for, right? Same with Google.
Right.
And so I'll do like different keywords just to like A-B test, because some things work for different industries, some things work for different accounts. And I like to mix it up. But in terms of like when you're creating Instagram content, I feel like Instagram content is more in the moment content, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Pinterest is definitely more evergreen content. Is it going to be relevant a year from an now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, etc.?
So when we talk about getting more views on your content, then, like when I say content, I'm thinking like podcast episodes, blog posts, like all of those types of things. However, I don't know the answer to this. Can you actually use it to get more eyes on the content you're creating on other social media platforms?
So I always suggest podcasters get on Pinterest. You see those podcasters who have like the show notes on their website, like they created a separate page for their podcast, and then others write the whole podcast basically in their blog post. What I would do then is I would create different graphics for Pinterest and then pin them to my podcast page on my website. And then that's how you get it. I wouldn't pin it to, say, your podcast platform that you're on, because what if something happens to the host of that podcast? You want to make sure that it's linking back to you at least, so that if someone goes on your page and maybe they're like, I'll listen to your podcast later, but then they're like, oh, actually they have free resources, or they have a blog, or they have this and that, they can always go roam around on your website.
Oh, I love that. And I think that's a really great segue actually into the question about, or the conversation around blogging. So blogging obviously had a very huge moment. I actually have a blog. When I was working as a hairstylist, I started a blog to give information to my clients. And I remember writing one about like mindset and all of those types of things. And so I have had a blog, but I feel like there was a moment when being a blogger was like the, you know how like now kids are like, I want to be a TikToker. I want to be a blogger. It was like the thing. When I really got into the internet marketing game, and when I really started just diving into the world of entrepreneurship. And then I feel like there was the public perception, at least, was that like blogging was pointless, or nobody blogs anymore, nobody reads blogs. We've already put that to rest in the beginning. But can we talk a little bit more about using blogging strategically? Because at the top of the episode, I know I said like this is more about getting more eyes on your existing content versus creating new content, but how does blogging fit into that, like into the ecosystem?
Yeah, so blogging also fits into the top of marketing because of Google, if people are searching for your keywords that you're ranking for, or they can also work for middle content, because once someone lands on your website, maybe from Instagram or Pinterest or another platform, and then they go look at your blog and they're scrolling through, what I like to do for my blog post and my client's blog post is I place whatever they're promoting, like a freebie or maybe something relevant in those blog posts, so that as people are reading those blog posts, they're like, oh, this would be helpful, because if you're reading about the main topic, you probably need more additional help. I also include a lot of internal links within the blog post. If you're reading about marketing tips, but you're a business owner who wants to learn how to outsource, and then you create another blog post on outsourcing, then you can link to that. As if you're podcasting, and then as you're podcasting, you're mentioning the other episodes that you're doing, but in writing form.
This is something that I think is especially important for like podcasters, YouTubers. When it comes to those pillar pieces of content, I love podcasting. I know a lot of YouTubers who are creating educational YouTube content do this as well. But how does a blog fit into promoting something like a podcast, for example?
I would say that it's not so much about promoting your podcast per se, but you can repurpose your podcast content into blog posts, because some people like to listen, some people like to read. And so if you also have your podcast run out, then you can market to the people who like to read as well.
I love that. Let's talk about social media for a second.
Yeah.
How can we use blogging or Pinterest or any other SEO strategies to actually get more eyes on our social media content?
If someone wanted to get on social, what I would do is make sure to include my social links at the end of the blog post, or even as you're talking throughout, you know, the blog post, if there's something relevant, maybe you're giving like marketing tips, right? And then you can plug in your social in there. Or another way is like, this is like a kind of a roundabout way, but say you also have an email list and you want people to connect with you on social, then you can use your blog post to get people to your email list, and then through your email list, you get them connected with you on social.
I love that. Are there any other must-know strategies or tips that you want to make sure that my listeners are aware of when it comes to getting more eyes on their existing content through Pinterest, SEO, all of the things?
I would say when you're doing your keyword research, make sure to jot it all down, because I don't know if your listeners are like me. I've been doing marketing for a long time, but I will admit that my notes are like all over the place. So whenever I'm doing my content again, I have to go find where it is, where if I just put it all in one document, I'm sure my life could be much easier. I actually do that more for my clients, but for some reason, when it comes to me, but just making sure that you have a process so that when you're working on blogging or Pinterest every month, you're not starting completely from scratch. You have a starting point. And then in Canva, I just duplicate whatever I did last month, and then I just edit it to this current month.
I love that. So is there any specific tips you have in terms of keyword research? Because if you're someone who has never actually done a lot of like SEO or blogging or Pinterest, like I think a lot of entrepreneurs who came into this space maybe in 2020, the focus was social, right? I think social is still extremely important in terms of building your brand, because I think now we're at the point where people are looking to things like Instagram almost like they would look at a website. Like they want to make sure that you're still active. However, I think that a lot of people who entered into the space around then skipped over a lot of the SEO and blogging and Pinterest, all of those things, because it was so easy to grow on social. So let's talk a little bit about keywords and maybe just explain what that is for anyone who's not familiar with utilizing keyword.
Yeah, keywords are keywords are basically the words that we use when you're typing into any search bar, whether it's Instagram, Pinterest, Google. For example, a keyword is website template or website design. When we type that into Pinterest, you'll see website template ideas or website template inspiration. If it goes into four or five words, that's a long tail keyword, which I recommend using because those are easier to rank for. So you want to see what keywords we're using in Pinterest. And I love Pinterest because they just tell you. And then if you pick a keyword and then you scroll down, you're going to start seeing like those related keywords. And so I kind of go into a rabbit hole of what keywords are people actually using on Pinterest. And then as for blogging, there's like a ton of keyword tools out there, like Google Search Console, Ubersuggest. I use Ubersuggest. There's like Moz,
keywords everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Keywords everywhere. Yeah. There's like a ton of tools. And again, like I always recommend using the long tail keywords. But something that else that I do is I just type it into Google and see, you know, when the questions come up, I aim for the questions because I found a few of my blog posts have ended up as snippets. Yeah, because like when you properly format your blog post, then Google can read it and crawl it.
Yeah, that's huge because that is definitely like the first place I look whenever I do a Google search. It like you're talking about the little like ones with the down arrow and expand it and it'll give you a little snippet.
Exactly.
That is always the first place that I look. So I think
that's cool.
When you say format properly, what do you mean by that in terms of blog posts?
In terms of like headings, people know where headings are. Most website platforms make it easy for you. Your title is your H1 heading. If you look at blog posts, there's the main headings, right? So then those are typically heading 2. And then as you break it down, it's like heading 3. So just making sure that there's a hierarchy when you're formatting your blog post. And then for your keywords, you always want to make sure that you have your primary keyword within the first paragraph or 100 words of your blog post. Basically at the beginning of your blog post. I always like to include 2 different Pinterest graphics in my blog post so that I can easily pin it to Pinterest.
Okay, thank you so much for your knowledge here. Is there anything else that you want to make sure my listeners know before we wrap up today?
Also, making sure your website looks good on mobile because people are looking at sites on mobile now.
Oh my goodness, that is something that I do. I do a lot of sales page audits and things like that for my clients. And so one of the main things that I'll always do whenever we're looking at a sales page, like when we're, because typically we're on Zoom or, you know, in Kajabi Live or whatever, and I always shrink it down to this big on my desktop because it is so different. And depending on what website you're using, like some templates auto format beautifully, some do not.
Yeah.
It's like the most underrated thing when it comes to any page on your website. I think that's huge.
Yeah, exactly. And then another quick thing to keep in mind is when you're pinning on Pinterest, make sure to always try to pin back to your own website, even if it's freebies, because I know that some email marketing platforms let you do it on their platform. But what if one day you decide to switch your email platform? That happened to me. I switched my email platform. And then so you can't really change the URL on your Pinterest after. Basically, just make sure to create the landing page on your website if you can.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And where can my listeners go to find out more about you?
They can find me at Instagram at Molly Hill Studio, or my website's Molly Hill Studio. You can just type into Google Molly Hill Studio and it'll pop up everywhere.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Sorry.